When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Stacking the Box. Yes, it is March Madness week, but the NFL does not stop for anyone, so we still got some storylines to get through. It is myself, Ian McMillan, Sterling Holmes with me. What's up, Sterling?
Dude, I'm stoked. Chiefs got a wide receiver. Off seasons for the Falcons and Chiefs have been glorious. Big 12 is over. March Madness is starting. We got football talk. We got basketball talk that you and I have been talking about. We got golf talk. Dude, things are great over here, Ian.
It's a great time. It's a great time to be a sports fan. I have officially ordered my Kirk Cousins Falcons jersey. I was holding off because I didn't know what number he was going to be. There were people in my mentions last week saying, oh, don't worry, he's definitely going to be number 8. Go ahead and order the jersey. Thankfully, it didn't, because he's not number 8. 18 is Kirk Cousins. Thoughts on this, Sterling? I ended up ordering a white jersey because my Falcons jersey I already have is black, but I'm afraid of ordering a white jersey. It's too late. I've ordered it, but I might immediately get a stain on it. Anything like I usually try to stay away from white shirts and white jerseys, especially, I mean, jerseys are like $130.
Yeah, it was a horrible call by you. You will immediately regret it. I remember when I was younger, a powder blue Zach Greinke Royals jersey, right? Thinking I love powder blue. This will be great. First day I got and wore to school, spaghetti day. I dropped a plate of spaghetti all down at the front. Well, but now it's worn. That bad boy wasn't coming out. So now it's a, you can tell I've loved that jersey. So I'm sure with your white jersey, you will tell you have loved that white jersey.
Yeah, I'm going to try my very best to not stain it, but I just felt like if I got a black jersey, it'd be the exact same as my AJ Terrell jersey, except different number and color. So I did think about like their alternate jersey. I did almost go that way. Ended up going white. I'm going to try my best not to stain it, but it seems like no matter how hard I try, I stain my clothes all the time. So
18 for a quarterback, by the way. Interesting.
Peyton Manning.
Yeah, but he ain't Peyton.
Yeah, well. Oh, well. All right, before we get into things, football fans, DraftKings is offering a fantastic sign-up bonus for new users. New customers can place a $5 bet on any sport. That includes March Madness. And you will claim $150 in bonus bets when you sign up using our code STB. The best part is that you will receive your rewards even if your first bet loses. Using our code STB not only gets you these bonuses, but also directly supports our podcast. Struggling today. If you've been considering signing up for DraftKings, make sure to use the code STB to maximize your first bets. This offer is only available to new customers who are 21 plus and physically present in legal gambling states. Please remember to always gamble responsibly. Check the episode description for the full terms of the offer. Yes, use code STB, $5 first bet. Instantly claim $150 in bonus bets. Place that $5 in Akron to upset Creighton in the first round of March Madness. It's a nice upset pick. Even if it loses, you still get $150 in bonus bets. Use code STB.
I don't know if I hate a pick more than that.
Ooh, interesting. All right.
I'm decently high on Creighton.
Don't do it.
There's one team. Was it Morehead State? There's one team that's like top 25 offensively. I gotta find this horrible NFL talk right now, of course, but I had them, it's like a 13 or 14 seed winning two games. I did the same thing with Stephen F. Austin a few years ago. Almost a decade now. Nailed it. Okay. So I know these upsets, Ian. I don't like Akron.
All right. We will see. We'll revisit that next week. I don't really think there's too many biggest winners and losers from this past week, so I think we can just dive right in the storylines, and maybe we can, or do you have one? I don't, so go ahead.
I do have it, and it's going to be the first thing we talk about, actually. The biggest loser are the Chicago Bears.
Ooh.
The Bears lost that move.
Okay.
The Bears, if that's all you're getting back for Justin Fields, keep him. Sorry, keep him. Because you're not getting enough back, in my opinion, to justify that trade.
Just to be clear, Justin Fields traded to the Steelers. In return, they got a 2025 sixth-round pick that could become a fourth-rounder depending on playing time.
And most likely it's Russell Wilson this year, so it's going to probably be a sixth. So my thought process is, okay, you draft Caleb Williams, we get that. We understand. Let Caleb Williams sit for a few games if you can. I get that a lot of quarterbacks, and when you draft quarterbacks that high, you want to see him immediately. I know fans obviously do as well, but how often does it actually work out? I mean, CJ Stroud, yes, I get it, but what about Bryce Young? I think Caleb Williams is a much more talented quarterback, but getting only a sixth is absurd to me. They missed the boat. They completely bundled the trade. We thought Steelers earlier before they got Russell Wilson. Still didn't happen. I mean, if you are the Bears, you completely missed the boat on this. You give away a lot of draft capital already in the DJ Moore trade, obviously. I hate this for Chicago.
I mean, you do have to think about the human element of keeping Justin Fields on the roster, because what's that going to be like next season? You have a first round pick from a few years ago who basically we've all admitted is not going to be the quarterback of the future for the Bears. And then the number one overall pick, it was supposed to be the guy. Like, that's not going to make for a good locker room environment, to be completely honest.
But him with in Pittsburgh with Russell is going to be a great one.
I think it's better. I think two veteran quarterbacks is better than a veteran quarterback on the same team that he was drafted to, supposed to be the savior, is clearly not. And then the next guy who is supposed to be the savior, the number one overall pick. I think that's two completely different dynamics.
I get it. And I also understand it's a sunk cost, so you get what you can. But right. I just think if you only got a sixth for Justin Fields, I'm keeping him. I get the human aspect. I get all that. At some point, just say, get over it, dude. You're getting paid millions of dollars. You're getting paid a lot of money. You can sit on the bench and get paid a lot of money. You can be a mentor. You can be a leader. You can help out. And who knows? What if Caleb Williams really struggles early on and Justin Fields gets inserted back for a couple of games and all of a sudden his stock goes up and you can get more for him, or maybe he becomes a starter instead of a backup in Pittsburgh behind a washed up Russell Wilson. Like, there's so many ways to go about this. And I just think Chicago missed it in every single way.
Yeah. I think the narrative that came out was that they only got that in return because they wanted to do right by Justin Fields and send him to the team that he wanted to play for, which I think is one of the most bullshit reports I've ever heard. Like, that's, yeah. Do you think that a team's really going to do that? Like, take a worse draft pick just to do right by the quarterback that's no longer going to be on your roster, a quarterback that was a bust, a quarterback that you invested a lot into in terms of draft stock to succeed, and he didn't. That's one of the most ridiculous reports I've ever seen. Also, actually, you know what's an even more ridiculous report? At the start of the offseason, when people were saying the Falcons were going to trade their eighth overall pick for Justin Fields, and now he goes for a sixth, maybe a fourth.
Whoever said the eighth overall draft pick for Justin Fields is an idiot. I'm sorry. You don't
know.
I
think it was Mel Kiper.
You don't know ball, Mel. I'm sorry. I like Mel Kiper, but that is just the most absurd, asinine talk of all time. Hunter says, wait it out into the season. Someone's QB will go down. Like always, yes.
Yeah.
It's a great call, Hunter. Yeah, I don't understand this move for Chicago. If they were going to make this move, I said last year, I don't know if you remember on Stack in the Box, I said draft CJ Stroud 1, trade Justin Fields while there's still some value in him. Again, I'm not a GM. I've missed way more than I'll ever get right, but that was one that I feel pretty strong about. CJ Stroud looks like QB1, and they should have traded Justin Fields last year when they had value.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I know Russell Wilson is the reported starter in Pittsburgh, but I mean, you have to think there's going to be at least a bit of a competition in the preseason. Like, if in the preseason and training camp, Justin Fields outplays Russell Wilson, they got to make Justin Fields a starter, right? I mean, it's not like the Steelers have a ton of money like locked up with Russell Wilson, so they kind of have to because financially they have so much locked up into him. But I think they can go either direction. I'm kind of surprised that they already said that Russell Wilson was going to be the starter.
Yeah, that did surprise me a little bit. But same time, you know what you have with Russell. You have zero idea with Justin Fields. Zero. And as much as we think it's a little silly, it's also very impressive. Mike Tomlin always goes over 500. It might be 9-8, but he does. I don't know if he wants to risk throwing Justin Fields in there and all of a sudden you go 4-13. Russell Wilson, with that team, Mike Tomlin as the head coach, you probably are going 9-8. I know it's a silly thing, but you know the floor, and the floor is going to be 500 at least with Russ in that system with Mike Tomlin.
I tweeted when the Justin Fields trade was made official. I tweeted, are the Steelers aware that two average quarterbacks doesn't equal one good one? And Steelers fans were not happy with that tweet.
Because you called him average, which I think is very bold, actually. I think you should have said below average quarterbacks.
Ooh. There were a couple of people also in my mentions who said that, but the big argument that they came back at me with was that, yeah, but we aren't spending a lot of money on the two quarterbacks. We got them for cheap. It's like, yeah, but that's like getting a cheap quarterback is not going to make your team better and necessarily lead you to a Super Bowl. Like, that's not how you build a team.
I actually don't hate this for the Steelers in the mindset of, yes, it's very cheap. And again, you have a floor guy with Russ and you have a potential ceiling guy with Justin Fields. Again, I actually don't hate this for the Steelers. I just find it very perplexing on all accounts. And again, most likely, that's why I said Chicago was the biggest loser and not the Steelers. I don't think it's a miserable move for the Steelers. I think it was just a horrible trade. Again, a six rounder for Fields, which he's probably not going to play. So that it's not going to most likely end up as a fourth. And then Denver's paying for all of Russ. You have a floor guy, you have a ceiling guy. I do not hate it for Pittsburgh.
In my opinion, unless you're trying to win a Super Bowl, like, or unless a move can help you win a Super Bowl, then that move isn't worth making. And Justin Fields and Russell Wilson are not winning a Super Bowl.
No, but was Kenny Pickett? No, but they're better now than they were with Kenny Pickett. They're better now than they were with Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph. I get what you're saying, but how many teams are legitimately competing for a Super Bowl, especially in a deep AFC?
Right, so it should be either you're rebuilding and trying to get to that point, or you're at that point and you're trying to further stack your roster so you can win a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
and I don't know which of those two boxes checks getting Justin Fields and Russell Wilson.
I think Fields is better than Kenny Pickett, so at least I think they're trying something different.
Yeah, but okay, now you're a below average team to an average team at best. That does nothing.
Sure, but in the NFL, 22 teams aren't going to tank.
Right. I don't know. Any other thoughts on Justin Fields of the Steelers before we move on?
We'll see, baby.
We'll see. I still don't understand the hype behind Justin Fields. There are still people out there on social media that think that he's like a top 10 quarterback in the NFL and that he just doesn't have the weapons and people don't know what they're talking about. And it's the classic thing. There'll be a highlight going around of, you know, one of the five good plays that he made in his career, and then someone retweeting it saying, like, this guy is an elite quarterback. It's like, that's the problem, though, is that he has highlights, but a couple, like 2 to 3 really good plays in a game is not going to win you a game. You have to be good every single play. And I think also maybe it's a result of red zone, people just watching football through red zone, so they only see highlights. If you actually watch a Bears game and watch him play every single snap, it's not good. It's bad.
And I do not want to hear the offensive line. The offensive line's not great in Chicago, but it was not horrendous last year. It was not. Justin Fields holds onto the ball way too long.
Yes.
He thinks he's Lamar or Mahomes or Josh Allen back there. He is not.
Yeah. All right. I don't know if this had, I know a couple of these pieces had left. I don't know. Did the Keenan Allen trade last time that we talked last week? Because Chargers have completely clean house. Yeah, Eckler in Washington, Mike Williams released, Keenan Allen gone. I don't remember if Keenan Allen had been traded last week.
Yeah, I believe we did. Maybe not, because I don't know if we talked about Hollywood Brown very much on this either. So Keenan Allen obviously traded was for a fourth rounder, if I'm not mistaken. I think the Chargers are doing the right thing. They have to. Yeah. Because they had six guys whose cap space was like 75% of the team. It was absurd. They had to do something. I know it's going to suck this year, most likely for the Chargers, but it's not like they were out here perpetually making the playoffs or going deep. They weren't. At some point to say, okay, this isn't working. What better time than when you get a new GM, you get a new head coach, start from scratch and let these guys bring their guys, draft their guys. I like this for the Chargers the same way I said I kind of liked it for Denver, just saying, you know what, we're not going anywhere. Let's tear this thing down. We're going to start from scratch. You got to pull the Band-Aid off eventually. Might as well do it now than in 2 days when the scab starts getting there and you rip the scab off yet again and you have to start from scratch. Again, I'm not saying tanking it necessarily. I'm not saying they need to tank, but I'm saying they need to rebuild. The Chargers will be decent. The fact that they have Justin Herbert, right? They might be 7-win team. Hell, I could see him winning 8 games. But end of the day, this was something that needed to happen, because paying this amount of money to 30-plus-year-old dudes is just silly in today's NFL.
Yeah, I don't think it's tanking in the sense that they should go into this next season and purposely lose games, because usually you do that because there's like a top quarterback prospector class. They already have their top quarterback, and he's young enough now that you can do this. What they should do is what they did do, which is clean house in the sense of starting from scratch, like you said, Sterling. Get rid of these old guys that are 30-plus years old that you're paying a lot of money to. And yeah, it's probably going to result in them having a bit of a rough year upcoming. I mean, anything can happen with a good quarterback, and they have one in Justin Herbert, but they should certainly, you know, start from scratch and try to rebuild. They have their quarterback. They have the tough piece piece that's tough to get, which is, you know, I don't want to say elite yet, but borderline elite, at the very least, a very good quarterback in Justin Herbert. They have that. Now they can build around him, start from scratch with their new head coach. And a couple of years, if they do it right, they'll be in a really good spot in 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
And Herbert's young enough now that they can do that and not be too concerned. If he was like, you know, late 20s, early 30s, and it's like, it might be a little bit too late to do this, but he's still very young, early in his career. You have the time to kind of rebuild the team around him.
Yeah, you do it now, so you're not having to do this when he is 28, 29.
Correct. Aaron Donald retires was some of the biggest news from this past week. Not completely surprising, because even I know he flirted with retiring after winning the Super Bowl, but it did, in a sense, kind of come out of nowhere. But yeah, one of the greatest defensive linemen of all time.
Yeah.
First ballot Hall of Famer.
It's sad. Like, I love watching Aaron Donald play. He is the guy that if you watch the interior defensive line in today's landscape of the NFL, he was a guy that kind of pushed it this way. He changed it almost. A little different build than I think the traditional defensive tackles in the past, right? I mean, it's sad seeing him retire. Again, this is one of, I wouldn't say childhood, but that next era for me, right? When you're in probably high schoolish and you're really getting into football and the analytics and you're learning about where game changers are. well, Aaron Darnold was a game changer at a premium position. You're right. I mean, we all thought that he was, I don't want to say we all thought, but there's a chance of him retiring after the Super Bowl. And then this kind of did come out of nowhere, right? There wasn't much talk about him retiring after this season, right?
Yeah, because the Rams had kind of rebuilt a little bit. They were a playoff team last year. So you kind of, like, if the Rams had a bad season, then I think we would have expected a lot more than what we did.
Agreed. If they were horrendous, I would have said, yeah, that makes sense. But I would have thought he would have ran it back one more time, personally.
Yeah.
But, man, that is large shoes to fill, whoever's going to try and fill it on the Rams. And by the way, this does now make Chris Jones the clear-cut best interior defensive tackle in the NFL.
Yeah, so Aaron Donald, Super Bowl champion, obviously three-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year. He won Defensive Rookie of the Year when he was a rookie. Eight-time first-team All-Pro from 2015 to 2021, and then again in 2023. 10-time Pro Bowl winner. He's obviously going to be a first-ballot Hall of Famer. He's also on the 2010s All-Decade team. If there was something above the Hall of Fame, Aaron Donald will be in that too.
Yeah.
Truly one of the greatest football players of all time.
I mean, if you made an all-time list, like an all-time roster, he's on it. I mean, seriously, he's above Warren Sapp. I mean, he's above anyone, in my opinion, at this point. I mean, I'd actually have to do a list, but I think if you're making like a starting 11 defense, he's on it.
Is he the greatest defensive tackle of all time?
That's what I'm saying. I think you make a case for it, man.
Yeah. So shout out to him. Great career, fantastic career. And we'll miss seeing him play. I'm kind of torn on when players announce their retirement before it happens. It is kind of nice in the sense that we know when we're watching their last couple of games. And I feel like I didn't get the chance to do that with Aaron Donald.
I think Dirk did. If you remember Dirk Nowitzki, I don't actually remember if he said he was, but everyone just knew he was. Because I remember I was in Philly at the time, and I made sure I went and watched his final game in against the Sixers. And it was a cool experience witnessing a historic player play for the last time.
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel like I didn't get the chance to do that with Aaron Donald. Some Falcons news. Desmond Ridder. He gone. We got Rondale Moore. We got like a decent receiver for Desmond Ridder, one for one. It was not even like a conditional like seventh round pick, which is what I thought maybe the most we'd get for Desmond Ridder. We got like a half decent receiver. What a trade. What a move.
Yeah. Rondale Moore is very interesting. Like, I like him in a nutshell, but he's always underproduced from what I thought he was going to do. He's a really talented gadget player. Honestly, he feels like a Kansas City Chief. Doesn't he feel like one of those guys who just a lot of end arounds, a lot of movement in the backfield, undersized? He'll be good on the Falcons. Like, I think they'll find a way to use him.
In Zach Robinson's offense, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm actually intrigued by that. You're right. The fact they got anything for Desmond Ridder's incredible. So getting that is pretty tasty.
Low key might be the best trade of the offseason, to be honest. A lot of rumors right now that obviously kind of related to the Falcons here with Kirk Cousins signing with the Falcons. Vikings need a quarterback. A lot of rumors that they're going to go after JJ McCarthy in the draft.
You know my thoughts on McCarthy.
Yeah, we have talked about McCarthy.
I don't mean in a bad way. I just think he's one of those guys that you look back and say he's a great college quarterback. He's a great college quarterback. I think he's better than Mac Jones. Mac Jones, I was absurd. Shouting from the rooftops, don't draft Mac Jones. But like Stetson Bennett, I know he was older, obviously, but I mean, like even at times you're sitting here going, is he helping elevate this Georgia offense right now? JJ McCarthy obviously was. When you're surrounded by that much talent, it's so hard to really evaluate these guys. I think he goes down as a great college quarterback and a bottom 10, bottom 5 starter in the NFL, and he sticks around as a long-term backup. That's kind of my call on JJ McCarthy.
Yeah. I mean, the Vikings definitely need a quarterback. They're probably not going to be able to take one of those top three picks. Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft has them trading up to number 4 with the Cardinals to get JJ McCarthy, which would move the Cardinals down to number 12. I mean, do you see the Cardinals or down to 11? Do you see the Cardinals doing that? Because then they're not going to get Marvin Harrison, which would be wild.
Yeah, I don't think they would do that. That'd be a pretty it depends what they get, though. I mean, if they get a King's ransom at some point.
Sure.
Who cares? Yeah. And correct me if I'm wrong, I think they also should have 2 first rounders this year because of the Will Anderson trade with the Texans. The Texans had a trade with him to move up.
They also pick 23.
So I guess technically they can move back and then move
27.
Back.
Sorry, 27.
They can move back. Yeah, because the Texans were really good this year. They could trade back and maybe trade back up with using that as ammunition. But again, who's going to actually trade if you trade back out and you know Marvin Harrison Jr. is on the board? That's tough.
Yeah. Van Der Esch for Tires. Leighton Van Der Esch for the Cowboys or Tires. At how old is he?
28.
28.
Yeah.
Actually, a kind of a thing that has happened a fair amount of times with linebackers specifically.
Yeah, this was something I wanted to talk about. That's why I wanted to make sure I brought this up in the pre-show meeting with you, Ian. He's 28, man. Like, I get it. He's made a ton of money, and I don't know how many people would not trade places with Leighton Van Der Esch, right? Like, just the average person. But I'm still sitting here going, you're 28 and you're retiring because of neck injuries, perpetual neck injuries. What does that look like the rest of your life? Again, you made a lot of money. That's awesome. But I just always feel for these guys because he even said, my body is no longer cooperating. You know how hard it has to be when the majority, 99% of your body, you feel like you're great. But because of your neck, all of a sudden you can't do what you think you can do, what you feel you can do. And you're that young. It's not like you're 38 and you're like, yeah, the game's passed me by. You're 28. That should be about your prime. I always feel for players like this, and I don't know if we as fans and media talk about it enough, the grind of some of these guys who have to retire early, not because of lack of talent, but because of injury. It just really puts the game of football for me into perspective.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting because he was drafted by the Cowboys to kind of replace Sean Lee, who, remember, was a linebacker for the Cowboys, who had a very similar career in terms of a lot of early success, but then injuries. Now, he kind of tried to keep on playing, but like the last like 6 years of his career, it was like hurt for the whole year and then played 5 games and then got hurt, played like 6 games and then got hurt. So his career in a lot of ways kind of echoed the player who he was drafted to replace in Sean Lee. Who was the 49ers linebacker that retired really young a handful of years ago?
Yeah, he was phenomenal too. One of
Bowman?
The best. No. He might have too, actually. I was thinking of, there was two. 49ers have had two. Bowman, yes, and they had another one.
In 2015, Chris Borland.
No.
Yeah, he was.
That's what Hunter said.
That, retirement right. Before because of, but I don't remember him being like a top stud guy. Yeah, Curtis Boland. Yeah.
That's not Chris who I was Boland. Thinking of, though. I was Chris thinking of a guy who Boland. Was 29 or 30, who was the best, 28, 29, 30, one of the best linebackers in football.
Patrick Willis. He wasn't, was he that young when he retired, though? I think he had a couple years left, but he was still somewhat old.
Was it Patrick? I got to figure out who I'm thinking of because this is going to drive me insane. Yeah, he retired at 29, Patrick Willis.
Oh, he did retire a little bit early. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking.
Yeah, Hunter. Yeah, Borland retired in his rookie. Yeah, led the league in tackles and then retired. Yeah, crazy. So there is a trend, and specifically it's of linebackers, especially now because linebackers, their value has kind of gone down, kind of similar to running backs. And similar to running backs, they are some of the positions that take the most damage,
yeah,
most physical damage. So, yeah, it's Borland, Hunter. We got it. It's Borland.
I was thinking of Willis, though, retiring early at 29. When I said 29, that should have told you I'm not thinking of Borland.
All right. Chase Young to the Saints. Obviously, a little bit noteworthy for me being a Falcons guy, but is Chase Young, is he as elite as kind of the name of Chase Young is? Like,
no, it's Jadavion.
He's not as good as, like yeah. Like his brand is stronger, I think, than his actual play, right?
Jadavion Clowney, I will grant this. I think Jadavion Clowney's actually gotten better as he's played in the NFL. Like, I know some of the numbers, the sack numbers might not back that up. He is phenomenal against the run. He knows his gaps. He's gotten a lot smarter. Jadeveon Clowney got real big, though, because of the one play. We all know the play, right? Chase Young's a little different, but he just dominated in college. And then when he came out, we're all just sitting here going, well, look how athletic he is. Look how different he moves. Right. And then you're just sitting here going, yeah, but the production's not matching up. It's still not matching up. And unlike Jadeveon Clowney, he's atrocious against the run. Atrocious.
Yeah.
I think those guys, though, might end up having very similar careers. Maybe Chase Young eventually figures it out. Hey, I got to get better here. I got to learn to do this. If I'm going to stick around for another 5, 6, 7 years. Like, again, Jadeveon Clowney has. He's adjusted his game, and I think he's become a really good player. Chase Young's going to have to do that because at some point, the athleticism only, it's going to wane. It's going to start going down, 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 and then you have to do something different. Until Chase Young adjusts, he's going to be the same player he's always been, which is a solid player, but perpetually underperforming for what he should be.
Yeah, Chiefs fan says, Chase Young, rookie year phenom that never adjusted to the tackles that adjusted to him. Yes. I think that's a kind of a good way to sum it up. So yeah, he is with the Saints, not too concerned as a Falcons fan. Sterling, I need you to talk to me about this because I kind of saw this, but I didn't really dive too deep into it. So hopefully you know a little bit more about what happened here than I do. But the 49ers, I'm sure Hunter's going to love this conversation, were penalized for some reason.
Yeah, penalized in the next two drafts because of a payroll error.
Oh.
They forfeited a 2025 draft choice and then penalized four spots for a selection in this year's draft, going from number 131 to 135 because of a payroll error. Ooh. The one in 2025 is a original fifth round choice. The 49ers say, quote, "We take responsibility and accept the imposed discipline from the NFL due to a clerical payroll error. At no time did we mislead or otherwise deceive the league or gain a competitive advantage in connection with the payroll mistake," end quote. The NFL did their own review on this and basically found that, yeah, they didn't do anything necessarily mischievous. They determined the club would have remained under the cap salary at all times, regardless of the error, and there was no intent to circumvent the cap, end quote. And so what I find interesting is, why are they penalized? Like, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be a 49ers, like, apologist here. Like, I get, like, but if it's an error, a legit clerical error, and you're sitting here going, they clearly did not do this on purpose. It was clearly an accident, and clearly, they were under the cap at all times, so it did not affect a single thing. And you have to forfeit a fifth rounder and then also move down. Like, if you have to move down four spots in one draft, okay, fine. Slap on the wrist, I get it. But then you also have to lose a fifth rounder for something that did not affect anything. I think it's
because rules are rules. The intent doesn't matter. It's not like when on the field, if someone, you know, has a holding penalty, but they didn't mean to hold him, it was a mistake, then they're just going to pick up the flag.
No, that's so different, dude.
No, it's not. It doesn't matter what the intent was. Rules are rules. You got to follow the rules. And I applaud the NFL for, you know, dishing out punishment for teams that are so incompetent. It's actually worse that they didn't do it on purpose, because instead of malice, it's just pure incompetence. What a disgrace. I'd be pissed if I was a 49ers fan. Get your front office in order.
Do you think they will know the overtime rules next year? Maybe.
Hope so. Hunter says, we get rid of picks all the time. Who needs them? We get rid of picks all the time. Who needs them?
I can't wait for the new kickoff rule to get implemented, and then all of a sudden the 49ers have zero idea what's going on. They're like, We have not talked about this. We have zero idea what's happening right now. This is going to be electric.
Yeah, Joshua, I swear, Mr. IRS, leaving out that zero at the end was an accident. Yeah, if you misreport your taxes and you're just like, oh, it was a mistake, do you think they're going to forgive you for it? No, probably not.
No, and I still think it's always,
rules are rules.
I think it's B. Yeah, I'm sure you never drank under 21 either.
Nope. Well, 19 in Canada.
Dang, Canada.
Here.
Wow.
You didn't know that?
No, good for them.
Shout out.
Well, I mean, come on.
21 for a drink. We're off topic, but 21 for drinking age is ridiculous.
I think the IRS and a lot of taxes. Come on.
I think that's pretty much it. Let's give a little quick State of the Union here before we wrap things up. You go first. What's a State of the Union for the Chiefs? They got a wide receiver. What are you looking for next? Give me just a little State of the Union here for Kansas City.
Yeah, for the Kansas City Chiefs, I'm just sitting here going, how the heck did you get Hollywood Brown for $7 million up to 11?
Oh, yeah, right.
How? How did the NFL let this happen? Like, I don't think
he's I hate this so much.
I don't think he's a legitimate wide receiver one. I don't. Like I think he is a wide receiver two. That's what I think he is. But that's fine because you have Rashee Rice and they play totally different styles. I love this for Kansas City. I love this for Hollywood Brown. I didn't like it when I thought it was going to be like a 3-year, 50-some million dollar contract. But this and the up two is doing a decent amount of heavy lifting, almost 33%, right? Maybe more than 33%. I'm just, man, this is a phenomenal move for Kansas City. Brett Veach doing it again. I'm not a huge fan of all the moves on the defensive line necessarily. They're bringing back the gang, which I thought was not great as far as defensive tackle outside of Chris Jones, obviously. I would still like to see a heavy draft pick spent, you know, Tavondre Sweat, maybe someone in the first or second round at D tackle alongside Chris Jones, more of a game changer. Tough to complain, obviously, when you're stacking Lombardis, when your hands are getting so many rings, you can't turn doorknobs. I've enjoyed what Kansas City has done for the most part. The last thing they need to do is L'Jarius Sneed. The longer they wait, the more it feels like L'Jarius is playing on that franchise tag. Overall, I'll give this an A minus for Kansas City, an A minus right now off season for the Chiefs.
When this move happened, it reminded me why people are starting to not like Chiefs fans, because you already have the greatest quarterback in the league, maybe the greatest quarterback of all time. You've already won 3 Super Bowls in the last, whatever, 4 or 5 years. If you make a good, they make one good trade and then all of Twitter is, oh, the Chiefs have done it again. Oh, we're still on top for the Chiefs. Oh, look at this move. The greatest trade of all time. Just relax. Can't you just take your wins in silence? Like, just, you just won the Super Bowl. You make one half decent trade that's really not even as good of a trade as you guys think it is. Oh, the greatest organization of all time. The Chiefs have done it again. Oh, look at the, he's going to throw for, he's going to catch for 1,000 yards. Wow. Just relax. Relax. I can't stand the arrogance coming from Chiefs fans. And then one small thing will go wrong. They'll be like, oh, the NFL screwing over the Chiefs again. Nothing ever goes right for the Chiefs. Oh, I can't stand it. I can't stand it. At least when the Patriots were like this, at least they like expected excellence. So when good things happen, they kind of like just got the wins in silence. And we're just like, yeah, of course this happened. We're the Patriots. The Chiefs got to, Chiefs fans got to go on a parade through Twitter. Oh, the greatest trade of all time. Oh, how can we get this receiver for this price? Oh, because he wanted to come play for Mahomes. So we got him.
Calmer than you, dude. Calmer than you.
I can't stand it.
Calmer than you, dude. I'm just sitting here, man. You're so angry. Let the hate out of your heart.
I am in.
Did I say greatest trade of all time?
No,
it wasn't even a trade. It was a free agent signing.
Signing. Whatever. Greatest acquisition of all time.
No, it was a good pickup.
Actually, great point by Chiefs fan here. Ian would be so annoying if the Falcons were as good as the Chiefs. I've already become annoying, and all we've done is sign Kirk Cousins, and I've already become annoying.
Seriously, so. Ian. Chill pill. I'm laying back. You can't see. I'm shoeless right now. Got my feet kicked up on my table. I'm relaxed, baby.
Yeah. Falcons State of the Union. I guess I've already talked about it. We traded Desmond.
Falcons fans, Falcons.
You want to talk about the greatest offseason move? It's not the Chiefs getting Hollywood Brown. It's the Falcons trading for Rondale Moore. Desmond Ridder. Hunter says Ian loves to win in the offseason. Win the offseason, in season, not so much. Yeah, and I've talked about this before, Hunter. It's when you cheer for a bad team, the only thing you have is the offseason, because the offseason, there's no wins and losses. There's just hope. So you can convince yourself that any move that your team made is a great move. Like Steelers fans convincing themselves that now they're a Super Bowl contender because they have Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Because you can't be proven wrong because we still have like another 7 months until games. So you can just speculate now based on moves and make yourself convinced that your team's good now. So that's what I'm doing.
Well, you did this last year and you were proven wrong.
Correct. I'm celebrating getting Rondale Moore for Desmond Ridder when I sat here last year and was like, you know what? Desmond Ridder doesn't turn the ball over. He just needs to be a game manager and we're going to win a playoff game. I'll bet a steak dinner on it. And that did not turn out. So, yeah, I've been wrong before. I'll probably be wrong again. All right. That's the show. I have nothing else to say but more about the Falcons. We're going to get hopefully Dallas Turner in the draft in the first round. We'll have a pass rusher. We already have our receivers. Maybe one more DB, and we're locked and loaded, baby.
Dude, you have way too much dip on your chip, man.
Baker Kirk. Okay, Hunter, relax.
Yeah, I can't get there, man. By the way, what a large contract for Baker Mayfield. Good for him, but dude, was it 3 for $100 million? Yikes.
Yeah, Baker's interesting because he's such a high ceiling, low floor guy. When he's at his worst, he looks terrible. But when he's at his best, like he looks like an elite quarterback. But it's just to win a Super Bowl, you got to be at your best for 3 or 4 games in a row. And that just Baker's not going to play his A-plus game 3 or 4 games in a row. So, and when he's at his worst, he gives away games. It's not like he just doesn't win. Like he actually like gives away games. All right. We'll be back next week. When is the draft? Is it late April or early April? It's got to be late April, right? Are we a month away yet?
Let me pull this bad boy up. We should know this, but I quite frankly,
April 25th. We're still a little
that's
over
my birthday,
month
away. Dude.
There
that's
you
my
go.
Birthday. And by the way, when you're the Chiefs and you're perpetually winning, we don't care as much about the draft because you know we care that's about right. playing well, you pick three deep second. Into February.
Draft is in Detroit this year. Ugh. Sorry, Detroit people.
Yeah, what was that about, Ian? Why do you hate Detroit? Like, what was that? Just like, ugh.
I don't know. I don't know. I guess I just when I think of it, I guess it used to be in New York, so New York's not much better. But they should do the draft like somewhere. They should just do
it in Kansas City, guy. They just did it there.
They should just do it in Vegas every year. No, they should do everything in Vegas.
I can't go back to Vegas.
Got kicked out. Banned from Vegas.
No, man, it was just a lot. 6 days, 6 nights, whatever it was. No sleep.
Yeah. All right. Follow me on Twitter at Ian MacBets. Follow Sterling Holmes at HomestretchKC. Subscribe to the YouTube channel Stacking the Box. Rate and review the audio version of this podcast and sign up for an account at DraftKings Sportsbook using the code STB. You get $150 in bonus bets when you place your first $5 wager on any sport, including March Madness, which technically kicks off tonight if you include the first 4 games. So sign up for DraftKings if you haven't already. You'd be stupid not to. All right. Take care, everyone. We'll talk to you next week.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.